Hey, soccer fans and SO peeps, this is Nick for Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. We are back with our usual Monday night chat on all things MLS. Let me come here. Let me see you. There we go. Now, we are going to recap a lot of the action from around Major League Soccer. What was this? Week 12, starting into week 13. Teams got 13 games down. Like, we are thick in the middle of the season. We're going to try a little bit of a new format here. We're going to do an overview of the results. We're going to dive into some headlines. We're going to pick apart some teams in detail, and hopefully we can have a good conversation because of it. But before we get into all of that, guys, Mike worked hard on this. We got to show the intro. Well, soccer fans, once again, I am Nick for Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. I've got my drink in hand. Let's see, is my green screen fading it out there? Come over and check it out on YouTube. Here we go. Cheers to you. Cheers to the fans. Cheers to the league. We're going to have a great recap tonight. There you go, ching ching. So you guys listening on the podcast can hear the ice rattle for full effect. Now, like I said, we are going to try a little bit of a new format here. We're going to try and dive into a few team-specific details as well as covering all the scores from around the league. Because if I spent my usual 5-10 minutes per game, God, we'd be here until the next slate of games because there were 24 games over the last week or so. It's incredible, this midweek madness that the MLS has presented. You know what? It's a lot of fun. I'm loving it. Almost as much fun as, let's see, my weekend was kids' birthday party, sister's birthday, nephew's birthday, church. But you know what? It all comes back to the MLS for me. So we are going to get into it right after a couple housekeeping messages here, right? Make sure that you like the video, that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you follow along on Twitter at SOP Soccer. If you like what I do and want to follow me for some more soccer content, some sketch comedy, some Chicago Fire themed videos, find me on YouTube at Wife Children House. Easiest thing for you to do is search Backdraft Chicago Fire Recap. It should take you to my page. I'm also on Twitter at Wife Kids House. Another reminder. Also look at the paid subscription. Not only do you get all the cool emojis for our chats, you also get premium videos from Mike's betting picks and predictions. And Mike's been telling me he's working on a little bit of a new system to help his investments, to help these strategic investors out there. So make sure that you are subscribing to get all his inside scoop and hear how he is betting MLS. And finally, throw a super chat our way. I got one the other week from Rocky. Thank you, my friend. Rocky, appreciate it. My first super chat. If I could print like a digital bill and stick it on the wall, like my first dollar, my first virtual dollar made, I would totally do that and have a picture of Rocky up here. But anyway, throw a super chat at us. If you like it, if you're fun, if you're entertained, heck, we're doing this every week for an hour, plus Mike's videos, you know, all free for you. Throw a dollar. It's cheaper than renting a movie, right? Throw $5 if you really like what we're doing. Throw a fiver out here on us. Come on. Support the channel, support what we do, continue to grow the conversation around soccer in the United States. Now, we've got Zachary Harden checking in. Hey, guys, he says, Toronto Sports Insider here as well. He says, what's up, peeps? And Connor McCabe tuning in, a longtime friend of the show and diehard Columbus Crew supporter. Connor McCabe, hello, Nick. Hello, Connor. Great to see you, man. Glad you're all here. Hopefully, everyone's enjoying the night. Now, we've got the housekeeping out of the way. Let's dive into the action. So our first slate of games was from Wednesday, May 18th, the midweek madness, I am calling it. We saw DC fall to New York City 0-2. We had Red Bulls New York in a thriller against the Chicago Fire. You don't hear me say that very often, thriller and Chicago Fire in the same sentence. 3-3 draw. Philly and Miami play to a goalless draw. Minnesota United draws the LA Galaxy 1-1. Houston falls to Seattle 0-1. Sporting Kansas City finally finds a win and defeats Colorado 2-1. Nashville on top of Montreal 2-1. A couple of solid teams there getting it done. Vancouver defeats Dallas 2-1, a bit of a blemish on Dallas's record. And LAFC falls at home to Austin 2-1. Meanwhile, San Jose defeats Portland 3-2. Somehow these San Jose Earthquakes are always scoring like 3 goals a game, but then it's just a question of, are they going to give up 1 or 2, or are they going to give up 4 or 5? I think that's their model right now. Now that was the Wednesday midweek madness. Now we've got Saturday, May 21st, the madness strikes back. Columbus opens up the Saturday game hosting LAFC and falling to LAFC 2-0. And we actually got a message from Connor McCabe on this one, who writes, I think there are a few issues with Columbus. One is they're fairly predictable, and another is they're fairly ponderous. They advance the ball more slowly than anyone else in the league, as per Second Spectrum's tracking data. It all adds up to a team that generally has a decent chunk of possession, but has struggled more to turn that into high-quality shots as the year has gone on. So that is what Connor's assessment of the Columbus Crew is, as we're about a third of the way through the season. And thank you, Connor. You make a great point, man. Columbus has 15 goals on the season, which is 11th in the East, but they actually have an expected goal of 18.3, which is 6th in the East. So if they're actually hitting what the model suggests they should, they would probably be a little higher up in the table than where they're at right now. Hopefully they can kind of progress up to that mean over the next kind of 10 games or so, and maybe get Zellerayan more involved. I think Connor and I were also talking about how when Zellerayan is involved in a goal, the Crew have like some insanely good record, and lately he hasn't been getting involved. So we got to see him get into the match and get more involved in the match. And hey, challenge to Caleb Porter, their manager, get Zellerayan involved in these games. Oh, we got a few new people jumping on in the comments. Dan Gehringer, SOP Mike, whoops, wrong account. It's all right, brother. We know it's you over there at TSI, as well as brother BKL Contreras, our sportertainment guy. What is up, fellas and SOP fam? What's up with you, brother BKL? Great to have you all here tonight. Now, continuing the Saturday rundown, DC and Toronto play to a 2-2 draw. Mike, how'd you like that Toronto comeback, huh? Pretty nice. Jay, you out there? You listening? I was thinking of you when Toronto nets that late equalizer. Now, Cincinnati loses their streak to New England. New England beats them 3-2. And Nashville also draws Atlanta 2-2. I think both teams are a little disappointed about that. But you know what? For this budding rivalry in the South, as well as an Atlanta team racked by injuries and a Nashville team trying to push to the top of the Western Conference, maybe Atlanta shouldn't be too disappointed. But you know what? You always want to win. I get that. All right. Before we move on to Sunday, Connor jumps in as well. I think we should trim the fat that he is Hewin Mileniu and Perry Kitchen. We're going to have to work on the spelling on some of the spell checks on some of these foreign player names here. They're always injured, never play. Open up that cap space for a DP striker. There you go, Connor. Great thought. And then we also, Zach Harden, thanks for reaching out back, man. I know I've been gone for a bit because of work and life, but the SKC side is just bonkers. Absolutely, man. And we've said it before, like, I'm never going to bet against Peter Vermees and Sporting Kansas City, but lately I just can't bet for them, right? Like, I'm never going to rely on them to get a win, but I'm never going to count them out. I always pick them when we started SOP, you know, 5 years ago in my garage and Mike's trailer. We were always picking them to win a trophy, and they just never came through for us. But at the same time, they're going to pull a win off when you least expect it. And then we've got Bernardo Labrada, 13, checking in. Hey, bro, how are you today? I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. As well as Zivo Genius, our friend from Down Under. Yes, mate, how are we? We're doing great. Great to see you all here. So we just wrapped up our Wednesday and Saturday scores. We got Sunday scores coming up, and then we're going to get into some of our featured matches and teams. So Sunday, May 22nd, the return of the madness. Montreal, first place Montreal, falls 2-1 to Real Salt Lake. Bit of a surprise game there. Again, Salt Lake, another one of those teams where just when you think they're about to fall and call it quits or collapse, they somehow stick around and end up in like the top four. Who knows? Charlotte beats Vancouver 2-1. NYCFC squeaks a win out in penalty fashion, 1-0 over Chicago. We're going to talk about that game in a little bit. Miami 2-0 over Red Bulls. That surprised me. Fans, what did you see about Red Bull here, right? Or I'm sorry, about Miami here. What did they do to Red Bull to get up 2-0 on them? That was a surprising result for me this weekend. Dallas falls to Minnesota 2-1. San Jose draws Kansas City 1-1. Austin draws Orlando City 2-2. Colorado 1-0 over Seattle. And the Galaxy, this was another big surprise for me, falling 3-0 to Houston. And you know what? Let me pull up this Philly one, because when I was taking my notes, it was 0-0. But Philly comes up with the 2-0 victory at Portland. Great win for the Union, not only to kind of get them a little closer to being first in the East, but over a good Portland squad who I thought their window had closed, but they've proven me wrong these last few weeks. Great win for the Union there. So before we get into our featured matches, let's see some of the comments. Zach Harden, as you said, I don't want Vermees to be fired, but many other supporters are frustrated. It is always Peter and friends lineup and not giving our new guys a shake. That's something I've heard people talk about on Extra Time, the league's podcast. That's something that I've heard around social media as well, that maybe it's time Vermees needs to give up his coaching duties and just stay kind of on the technical side or the sporting director side, however they're set up there. Just because they keep touting all their young players, well, they don't have any young players, and they're relying on that same aging back line and some of those same midfielders. And as much as I love Rodri Espinoza, they haven't developed anyone who can come in for him, at least not to my knowledge. Anyway, we also have Red Bull Insider. How you doing, Red Bull? I know we were talking. I mentioned that Miami game. Didn't mean to bring up bad memories for you. Let's not get into that Miami game. Red Bull Insider says they were horrendous. All right. Enough said there. So we've run down the scores, and we got Jay Jardine joining us just in time as we get into our Montreal discussion. Jay, you always come in as I start talking about any other Canadian team than your TFC. But I do want to start talking about Montreal a little bit, because they were first place in the Eastern Conference at the start of all these games. Now two straight losses, they're sitting in fourth place. And these were the non-conference opponents. So maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. And the top of the East is so tight, but Montreal can't afford to drop points, regardless of conference, if they want to stay in the top four. And Jay, appreciate it. He's have a good night. We're talking Montreal. Diehard TFC guy over here. Hey, Jay, let us know what happened in that game with TFC and DC. I said I was thinking about you when TFC drew. Anyway, back to Montreal, right? The loss to RSL, I think, really stings for them. It was at home. They had a 1-0 lead in the first minute. Thank you, Jordy Mihailovic, USMNT call-up again. It was a great attack. But Montreal could not replicate that same kind of offense for the rest of the game, right? Now, the question around Montreal was whether they could sustain this play. I think everyone kind of gave up on them because they lost their first three games. Then they got to the top of the East, and now they're starting to struggle a little bit more. They're playing on slim margins, though. That's the point I'm trying to make. In their six wins that they have, four of them came by a single goal. They have a +1 goal differential on the season, and the fourth best goal differential in the East, tied for eighth best goal differential in the league. Now, their next four matches, Montreal's next four matches, FC Cincinnati, Austin, Charlotte, and Seattle. May and June will really let us see if Montreal is, in fact, that top four caliber team or just another playoff hopeful. Now, speaking of that same Jordy Mihailovic, I was reading an article about him on MLSsoccer.com. He seems like he's really matured a bit and really understands what it means to put on that red, white, and blue jersey and really what it means to get that call-up, to play for and work for and earn that call-up, and then to actually be on the pitch with other national team members. So he gets called up to the June camp. He's definitely earned it. I would expect him to see a lot of minutes in the Nations League. Mihailovic can score. He can play centrally, which are two things that are lacking from the USMNT right now in the form of strikers and potentially injured midfielders. Now, another bit of news from Montreal. Kai Kamara is now tied for fourth on the MLS all-time goal scoring list. So I'm going to let you think about who are the top four all-time MLS goal scorers with Kai Kamara while we look at a couple of the comments here. Jay says, to be honest, I missed the game, saw the highlights. Long weekend up here and busy with the fam. I'm with you, man. I had 3 birthday parties this weekend, so I missed a lot of the action, been catching up on social media, the MLS highlight packages, everything else that's out there. So much content, plus what we're doing, what other people on YouTube are doing. It's great. Bernardo, LA Galaxy are having a little bit of trouble, and we're going to talk about them in the second half of the show, so stay tuned, Bernardo, for that. All right. Have you thought about who are our top 4 goal scorers in MLS history? We should have all gotten the number 1, Chris Wondolowski, 171 goals. Landon Donovan, we all may have heard of this gentleman, 145 goals in the second spot. Jeff Cunningham, 134 goals in the third spot. And Kai Kamara has now tied Jaime Moreno with 133 MLS goals, tied for 4th all time. Also, if you go down the rest of the top 10 list, now I didn't go any further, but Kai is the only active player in the top 10. So he might be able to jump up another spot or two, but I don't know if he's going to catch Donovan or Wando. Now, sticking in the Eastern Conference, let's move on to a couple other top teams in the Eastern Conference who I'd like to speak about here. New York City FC and the Philadelphia Union. Now, New York City FC is probably the most consistent squad with how they play, if not only results, you know, post-CCL. They had a little bit of a CCL hangover. And in my mind, New York City is the likeliest team to win the East. Again, apologies to the Philadelphia Union. So let's compare the two, though. Let's take a look at the two and see if you agree with my assessment that Philly is going to come up just short against New York City. Now, right now, Philly's in first place with 24 points. New York in second with 23 points in the East. But NYCFC's got that game in hand. NYCFC has a higher points per game by 0.07. So I don't know. Would you consider that negligible, fans? But also in the goal scoring department, City has 24 total to Philly's 17. Also, NYCFC has conceded one more, but still has a bigger goal differential, right? Hey, Soccer Mason 123, great to have you join the chat. Where's Mike, he asks. Mike is running his betting picks and predictions and lives throughout. He brought me back. I'm Nick. I'm one of the founders of the channel from a few years back to host our Monday night recaps. So appreciate you jumping on, asking where Mike's at. He's somewhere in the chat. I'm sure he'll jump in at some point. So Mason, happy to have you. Cheers to you as we continue our rundown on the East. Now, those are just the general stats, right? And we always like to look a little bit more as to how they're playing, right? So let's look at some of the advanced stats real quick. Comparing New York City to the Philadelphia Union. New York City has an expected goals of 23.4, Philly 20.1. Expected goals allowed for New York, 12.3, Philly 11. So that means NYCFC should be outperforming, or if NYCFC is hitting their metrics, then they've got a plus 11 goal differential. Right now they have plus 14. New York City is outperforming the models. Are we going to see them fall off a bit? I don't think so. I really think that New York City is going to continue this. It's their style of play, right? It's that City football group mentality of you play your game from opening whistle to the final whistle, right? You're not going to change your tactics. You're not going to drop guys behind the ball just because you're winning. You're not going to throw numbers forward, maybe a little bit, if you're pushing for a result or a win or some points or whatever the case is. They consistently play possession style football with the focus on goal scoring. So I think New York City is going to keep this up. They got the talent to do it. Aber is back from injury. Converted the penalty against Chicago. He's going to get his goal scoring going with that. So I think New York City is going to keep it up. Now, Philly is slightly underperforming their expectations as far as these models go. But you know what? Here's what we got to look at. Let's look at some of the head-to-head because it really could come down to this if the season is so tight. Gee, City Football Group playing a tight race. Where have we seen that one before, everybody? So these two teams played in March, a 2-0 Union victory, and we'll play each other again in June 5th. And this is what I like to see, that there's a gap between these games. Not like how Chicago's already played Orlando and Red Bull twice, and we're only a third of the way through the season, right? I like seeing this gap. I like seeing teams have to play each other at different points in the season when things may be ebbing and flowing a little differently for them. So, again, I think NYCFC has the edge. It looks like they're going to win the East. Gosh, could we see a back-to-back MLS champion for the first time in a while? Wouldn't put it past it. Wouldn't put it past them. All right, we got a few comments coming in. Soccer Mason, hello, nice to see you. Nice to see you too, man. Excellent little logo there. Is that an Argentina jersey on your little avatar there? Very cool. I grew up trying to emulate Maradona. That was just my childhood, right? I heard enough stories from my dad about him. So I love the Argentina flair there. Dan Gerringer says, anybody see that crazy Atlas v Pumas game? Dan, I haven't dipped into the Liga MX games as much as I'd like to this season, but if it's anything from what I've heard or seen, then yes, I agree with you. It was nuts. Hey, Connor says, hope everyone's doing well. Done with school and graduating on Friday. Busy weekend ahead. Connor, go out and celebrate, my friend. Enjoy. Congratulations on graduation. Good luck on the future. And brother BKL, we almost tried to jump in Eastern Conference when we winning six in a row, and Philly's almost jumping right back when they're winning. Also, Dan, I do see it. So, yeah, brother BKL agrees with you, Dan, on how crazy that Liga MX game was. And you're right, Dan. Things can fluctuate in the MLS. Or I'm sorry, brother BKL, things can fluctuate so quickly in the MLS. You drop two games and then the next team wins two or three, you're flipping positions. And it's exciting. And I think the league wants that kind of parity with things. Now, we are going to slip into our Chicago Fire recap here. Now, usually you hear from our good friend, longtime fan of the show, supporter of the show, and longtime follower of the Chicago Fire, John Donovan. He usually gives his take right now, and we appreciate John for all the work that he's put into in providing us with his summaries and his look-aheads. But John's traveling this week and was unable to get that recording done, so I told him, I got you covered, John. We'll pick it up again next week. Just between you and me, SO peeps here, I think he may be out trying to scout, maybe an outside back or backup center back or someone. Just a speculation, just a hunch. John, let us know if that's what you're up to on your extensive travels around the country. Anyway, so let me allow me to briefly recap the Chicago Fire in John's absence here, right? I expected them to lose both games being at Red Bull and at NYCFC. But after watching how they gave up the draw to Red Bull and how they played against New York City, I'm disappointed that they didn't come away with 6 points. That's the craziness about being a sports fan and a soccer fan, right? You actually watch the games, and then you get pissed that your team actually performs, right? It's crazy, especially in Chicago here, right? Now, the defense let them down in the Red Bull game, giving up 3 goals, especially the equalizer in stoppage time. And Slonina did not have a good performance. If you want some more details on that, head over to my YouTube channel at Wife Children House. Search for Backdraft Chicago Fire Soccer Recap. It'll take you to my channel. And you can listen to my full breakdown of this, of the plays and of the stats. But really, Slonina didn't do him any favors. The defense didn't do him any favors. The offense did their best. This was their highest scoring game of the season. I think one other time they hit 3 goals. But then against New York City, the offense goes and lets them down, especially Duran, who missed 2 from close range, like within 8 yards, right? Now, he's only 19, but him missing those 2 shots, you know, go find the highlights of the match and watch for yourself. Let me know what you think. Like, if he's got that it, if he's got that striker finishing touch, that instinct that we all know great goal scorers have, I think those 2 go in the back of the net. And that makes me worry about whether the Chicago Fire can actually develop a striker or not. So hopefully he finds it and starts finding the back of the net, most importantly. But we got to keep a close look on him because I don't think Chinonso Ofor is a starting MLS striker. And I don't think Shabilko, without like perfect service, is going to be able to lift the Fire up out of the basement of the league with a few, you know, goal scoring performances here. Now, let's try and have some positivity, right? I've been drinking. Let's have some positivity. Here we go. Now, the Mueller signing has worked for them. He looks happy to be back in MLS. He looks confident. He's taken on defenders or looking to cross or work a combo play like you saw his goal. Like he had an immediate impact not only on the quality of the starting lineup, but also then allowing them to have some depth, right? He immediately comes in. Everyone moves down a spot on the depth chart, and it absolutely helps out the Chicago Fire from that perspective. Now, if we could just get Mueller, Shaqiri, and Torres all playing together for 90 minutes, maybe the Fire would really be cooking. And hey, spitting fire, if you're out there, my friend, let me know what you think about having all 3 of those guys start together, right? Also, I thought Slonina was going to get get benched for a game against New York City after all of his major blunders against Cincinnati and Red Bulls. But Ezra kept him in. So either Ezra's got a lot of confidence in him or is trying to challenge him to become a better player, or Ezra just doesn't know what he's doing and just keeps rolling out the same lineup and same subs week in and week out, which is kind of possible. But he played a really good game. And speaking of Gaga, great news for USMNT fans. Gaga Slonina, the Chicago Fire goalkeeper and potential dual national with the U.S. and Poland, put out an Instagram post saying that he wants to play for the United States, that he is going to commit to the USMNT whenever he is called up, which is fantastic. Love it. Love seeing local guys make it big. Love seeing great young talent committing to the United States. I will say, you know, let's get him cap tied before anything actually happens. I didn't see him on the June roster. He still can make his one-time FIFA switch should he play a few games for the U.S., as long as it's not in a World Cup, as long as it's not in a Continental Final, so Nations League or Gold Cup, or three competitive senior matches. That would officially cap tie him. But if he plays in some friendlies, if he plays in, you know, Nations League qualifying games or group games, he can still make that one-time switch. Now, we're going to take a quick break. We have talked a lot about the Eastern Conference. We're going to do the Western Conference in just a minute. For everyone on YouTube, we're going to take a short break, go get a refill, go grab your bottle of Skira Icelandic Spring Water, run out to your 7-Eleven, get to your fridge, make sure you have it stocked up. If you don't, why don't you? It's delicious. It's rejuvenating. It's going to fuel my trip to Iceland this fall, that hopefully anniversary trip with the wife, we can get over there. Maybe I'll take a tour of the Skira plant, right? But anyway, we're going to take a quick break on the YouTube side. As on the podcast side, you're going to hear our brief sponsor read. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about a minute. See you very, very shortly, everyone.
This MLS Weekly Recap is sponsored by Skira, Icelandic spring water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven.
Okay, soccer fans and SO peeps, we are back. And thank you again to our sponsor, Skira Icelandic Spring Water. Get it at your local 7-Eleven. It's crisp. It's cool. It's refreshing. It's every perfect adjective that you would want. And you know what? It's keeps me going. Definitely after talking a lot and doing these podcasts, doing my other shows, have a nice bottle of Skira, soothes the vocal cords, cools the throat. It's fantastic. Go out, support our sponsor. They've been supporting Sons of a Pitch for 5 years now, letting us do what we do, and we take everything they give us and we reinvest it, just like we do with all of our donations, all of the super chats. Come on, let's get that super chat train rolling. Gotta make Mike happy, gotta make my boss happy, guys. Come on, help me out here. All right, that's enough begging for me. But seriously, though, throw a super chat in, $1, $2, $5, whatever you feel you want to give to support the entertainment, the soccer chat that we put out there. Everything we do gets reinvested into our channels, for better graphics, for better music subscriptions, for everything that goes into producing YouTube content. So before we get into our Western Conference recap, Ramon Poblano says, hey, SOP familia. Ramon, great to see you, man. How are you doing? Hope everything out west is going well for you, that you enjoyed your weekend, that you got some good matches in. And we're going to roll into the LA Galaxy recap right now. Fans, viewers, MLS aficionados, casual fans, like, what do you feel about the LA Galaxy right now? They are in a goal scoring drought. Like, I called them the goalless Galaxy in my promotional tweet earlier today, right? Listen to these numbers here, okay? Here we go. 13 goals this season. We've played 13 games, right? 13 goals this season, only three games with a multiple goals scored. Chicharito, their star, their striker, the rejuvenated Chicharito after a down year last year, only 5 goals. The team's expected goals through 13 games is 18.1, so they're definitely underperforming on the models. Now, will that mean that they will kind of play back up to that average or to what the models are projecting them to do over the next, you know, 10, 15 games or so? That remains to be seen. But they really need to start rattling off some goals. Get the cheap ones, man. They're going to have to start getting these, grind them out, you know, counter-pressing, turnover, bad goalkeeping passes type of thing. So we definitely need to see LA Galaxy grind out some goals here to try and get back on track. But we got to give credit to Greg Vanney because he fixed the defense. You know, last year that was a huge issue for the LA Galaxy, and it looks like he's fixed it somewhat. They've only allowed 14 goals this season. So, again, about a goal a game. However, LA hasn't won, the LA Galaxy haven't won, since April 23rd and have only taken a point since that victory. They're still in fifth in the West, with Nashville and Houston, though, ready to jump them. And that loss to Houston was a huge point swing. And we're going to go over the standings at the end of the show. We'll take a look at where all the teams are right now, where they're positioned, and how close the Galaxy are falling out of that playoff race for the time being. Now, in that loss to Houston, though, the Galaxy had 73% possession, 16 shots, 6 on goal, but just couldn't score. They even had probably the best passing game that I've seen all season in MLS. They had 693 passes at 88% accuracy. That's wild that they completed somewhere over like 500 passes but could not find the back of the net. Okay, I'm not a numbers guy. I'm probably way off. Get your calculators out. I don't have it in front of me. You know, Mike's the accountant. He's the numbers guy. I'm sure he'll correct me in our post-game debriefing here. But anyway, still, 693 passes at 88% accuracy, and you still can't turn one of those into an assist. LA is struggling mightily on the offensive end. Now, we got a couple comments here. Let's catch up on those. Brother BKL says, that means LA Galaxy play good, but not when they have no goals to score. We know warming up to the level for more goals. So hopefully that is the case, because as someone who's not invested totally in the LA Galaxy, I like seeing goals, right? Let's see the action. Ramon Poblano says LAFC won, so of course it was a great weekend. We take on Carson Wednesday, so let's hope they stay not scoring. That's great. Excellent vibes to put out there to get that LA Galaxy kind of bad mojo to continue as they roll into their across-town rivals. Well, Ramon, if you're going to be at the game, man, take a few pictures, send them our way. Let's see how the stadium looks and how all the fans are going to be out there partying it up for that. And as you say, you're right, LAFC still in first place. Thank you, Ramon, for those comments. Now we're going to stay in the Western Conference to kind of wrap up our team focus here. Except we're going to talk about three teams here. We're going to talk about a Texas resurrection. We're going to look at Austin, Dallas, and Houston for a little bit over the next few minutes, right? And I call it a Texas resurrection because last season, the three Texas teams were last. Dallas, Houston, Austin were the bottom three in the West. I don't know if that was a specific order, but they were bottom three in the West. And now they are second, third, and seventh in the West. Austin, Dallas, Houston in seventh. That's quite a turnaround for a third of the way through the season to go from worst to, you know, top seven, right? Now, I can't really find one particular statistic or phase of the game that they've all improved on. It looks to be just all around better play, that they're playing more confidently, that they're playing more comfortably, that they have a little bit more of an identity. And to me, that all comes from coaching, right? Let's see. Dallas got Nico Estevez in. He's in his first year. Houston gets Paulo Nagamura in. It's his first year. Josh Wolf gets his second season. A lot of people thought he'd be on the hot seat, but he actually ends up getting Austin off to a phenomenal start this year and gets an extension through 2025. So to me, these coaching changes are really what pushed these Texas teams to the top of the Western Conference and the confidence in Josh Wolf especially. Whoa! Guys, we got a super chat here from Ramon Poblano, $5, supporting SOP Soccer, supporting the chat, supporting what we do. Ramon, thank you. You are a true friend of the show, a friend of Mike and I, soccer partner. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your support. It lets us know that what we're doing, we're not just talking out our butts over here, right? We're having good, real, honest soccer conversation and doing something. So, Ramon, cannot thank you enough, man. That's fantastic. Mike even chimes in the chat. Ramon with the super chat. Thank you, sir. I can just hear Mike's voice saying it. Ramon with the super chat, right? The gravelly voice that Mike's got there when he, you know, starting to recover a little bit from his scotch drinking days that I'm just going right down to. Actually, it's a bourbon, but anyway. So I'm going to toast. I'm going to raise my glass to Ramon for the super chat. And I hope LAFC gets the win for you. And because you dropped $5 here, I'm sure they're going to score 5 goals on a struggling LA Galaxy team. Ramon, thank you again, my friend. All right, there's a little ching ching for those listening on the podcast. So Ramon says he doesn't want me to get fired. He's got to support the channel. So my boss, Mike, don't fire me. Thank you, Ramon. That's fantastic, man. So getting back to our Texas resurrection, right? Let's take a look at a few numbers that kind of show the all-around improvement that these teams have had, right? Last season, these three teams combined averaged 1.15 goals per game. This season, that is up by half a goal to 1.67 goals per game. Now, last year, these three teams combined were allowing 1.62 goals per game. Now they're only allowing 1.02 goals per game combined. So these Texas clubs have essentially flipped their offense and defense from last season. That's a good way to go from bottom of the table to the top of the table, right? They're playing better all around. Let's see, what else do my notes here say? Oh, also, I mean, it really helps for Austin when they score 10 goals in the first two games of the season. That does kind of hyperinflate these numbers a little bit, but they're sustaining it. They've also played better defense. And Jesus Ferreira for Dallas has really come into form, and I really, really like seeing him light up the scoreboard, because when he is confident and smiling, like, the rest of the team feeds off of it, and it's just, you know, it just goes in circles. It just goes in circles, and they keep building on it here. Now, a few notable things to point out. Is this flash in the pan? Can they compete in the conference? Let's look at some of the games that these teams have played and won so far. So notable wins for Austin. 2-1 at LAFC. Sorry, Ramon, to bring that up. 5-1 against Miami. 5-0 against Cincinnati. But unlike Dallas and Houston, their in-state rivals, Austin actually lost to the Galaxy. Dallas and Houston have beaten the Galaxy in their first matchup. So Dallas, what notable wins do they have? 3-1 at the Galaxy, 2-0 versus Seattle, 3-1 versus Colorado, 4-1 versus Portland, 2-0 versus Nashville. A lot of good home wins, but they have lost 3 games in May. So Dallas with a lot of notable wins, but slipping as of late. Houston, only a couple notable wins, 3-0 at LA, 2-0 versus Nashville. But Houston has lost 2 games, 1 to Dallas, 1 to Austin. So a lot of balance among these three teams. Houston just not getting those wins against their in-state opponents to help build them up the table. So let's keep an eye on these three teams as we continue throughout the next third of the season here and see where they can slip in the table or jump up in the table. Now, Jay Jardine with a comment. That Mike guy can be a hard ass, LOL. Yeah, he can be, but, you know, he's kind of a teddy bear once you get to know him. Just go ask Allison. Shoot her a message. She'll tell you everything you need to know. But anyway, no. Love working with Mike. Love the comments from Jay. Love the banter in the chat. If you are listening on the podcast and you are home or someplace with an internet connection and you're not driving on a Monday night at 8 o'clock Central, make sure you follow along on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Turn those notifications on. Join the banter in the chat. It's fun stuff. Some of the best conversations as far as MLS and American soccer circles go. Thank you guys for all that. So I said we were going to take a look at the standings. So let's take a look at the standings and recap where everything stands. So we got the scores here. We'll click it over and we'll let my internet and MLSsoccer.com do its thing. Hopefully not too much of a delay while loading. Now, we do know that we've got Philly back on top of the Eastern Conference with NYCFC in second place. And as you can see here, again, real tight at the top of the Eastern Conference. From first to fifth is only 4 points. And then sixth and seventh, Cincinnati and Charlotte, are only 5 and 8 points off of first place, respectfully. respectively. Anyway, but NYCFC does have that game in hand due to their Champions League play. Looking at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, though, we've got Atlanta and New England, Miami at 16, 15, and 15 points. So they are right in it. So if you want to look, really, the top five teams in the East are separated by 4 points. And then the next group of teams, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The next six teams are separated by 5 points. And then you've got Columbus, Toronto, and Chicago on 13, 12, and 11 points. Just trying to get some sort of momentum, right? Now, I don't know what their schedules look like going forward. The Chicago Fire have been playing better as of late. They just don't have the results to show for it, right? They probably should have won that, at least taken a point from that game in Cincy against Cincinnati. They should have won that game at Red Bull. I mean, they lose to New York City, one of the most prolific goal-scoring teams this season, 1-0 on a PK. Like, Chicago should be a lot higher up the table. They're just not getting the results to match how they're playing. Hopefully, when Rafael Chihos is back, whether he's sitting out with some injury or some personal time or whatever the case is going on with him, I'll have to research that a little bit more, that allows some different pieces to move in to the defense and to the midfield, and they can kind of get a few wins and move up the table. Fans, in the comments, in the chat, what do you think? Which one of these teams in the bottom half of the East is likely to make a push up? We know Toronto is waiting for Lorenzo Insigne to jump up, right, to really elevate their play. But Bradley's got to get the defense. Insigne can do a lot for this team, but I don't think he's going to do a lot for their defense. Correct me if I'm wrong, Toronto fans and Napoli fans. What's the scouting report on Lorenzo Insigne as a defender? You know he's going to start scoring goals with them, right? But can they do enough? They're at the bottom of the table, second to last in the East. Will that be enough? Meanwhile, Columbus, gosh, if they get Zellerayan some good looks, it might be like them signing a new player because he's really been, you know, absent in many parts of the game without the team allowing him in to get in a good run of form. I think DC can make a push up from 11th to that playoff line, as long as Taxi Fountas, my fellow Greek, keeps finding the back of the net. Anyway, let's take a look now at the Western Conference standings. LAFC atop of the table with 26 points, right at 2 points per game. That is that beautiful top seed, almost supporter shield kind of statistic you want. When you're hitting 2 points a game, let's see, New York City's at 1.92, Philly's at 1.85. But when you're hitting those 2 points per game, you are sitting pretty. So despite LAFC kind of recently struggling a little bit and people kind of wondering if Vela's form has fallen off a little bit with all the contract negotiations and extension talks, they're still in a really good position right now. And I'm sure head coach Steve Cherundolo is going to say, look, we're first place. We are LAFC. We know we're the best team. Let's do it. Let's play like it. And he's going to get those guys motivated to get out there and take care of business. Now, finishing the top four in the West, Austin, Dallas, and Salt Lake at 24, 22, and 22 points. Salt Lake is surprising me. Sitting here with 6 wins on 22 points, I did not expect them to be here. But here's the thing. Their goal differential is at -3. Usually teams with a negative goal differential are nowhere near the top four, let alone in a playoff position. So we're probably going to see RSL drop a little down the table over the next several weeks, just a hunch of mine. Now, Bobby Wood hasn't been getting going. If he can find some goal scoring rhythm and help make up some of this differential, you know, a couple 2-3 goal games for RSL, then maybe they hang around that number 4, 5, or 6 spot. But I just don't see the way they're playing right now way to sustain a top four pace. I'm sure Nashville is going to start to move up the table. I'm sure LA Galaxy, if they can find that goal scoring, is going to move up a little bit. And let's not forget who's in 12th place right now, the Seattle Sounders, who after winning CONCACAF Champions League and being the first MLS team to do so in this current iteration of the tournament, they've gone 2-2, 2 wins, 2 losses, but can still field an excellent squad. I almost wonder, though, if Seattle is digging themselves a bigger hole by being in the 12th spot, and then you're going to lose a few players to international duty, whether it's Jordan Morris to the U.S., whether it's and Christian Roldan to the U.S., whether you're going to see Alex Roldan go play for El Salvador in Nations League, maybe Ruiz Diaz goes back down to Peru. we don't know, right? Is Ladero going to get called into Uruguay's camp? Probably not, but you know, he could get in as maybe an injury replacement, something like that. So hopefully Seattle can, for Seattle fans' sake, regain that form. They are sitting at 1.18 points per game, which is higher than the two teams ahead of them, but still lower than any of the playoff teams and the next two. So Seattle's got a lot of work to do. Is this going to be the first season that they don't make the playoffs? I'm not going to bet on that, but don't call me surprised if that's the case. Now, we've got below them Kansas City and Vancouver in the bottom of the Western Conference. We all know Kansas City struggled. We talked about it a little earlier in the show. So if you're just jumping in now, make sure you go back and listen to some of the comments that we got from some of our viewers, as well as me never wanting to bet for or against Peter Vermes at this point. Anyway, Vancouver. What's going on in Vancouver? They look so promising. They look like they had their coach in place and that things were only going up, and they cannot find any sort of form. So fans, what do you think? Viewers, listeners, what do you think about this Western Conference picture right now? Do you think RSL is for real? Do you think Portland and Seattle can push their way into the playoffs? Was I wrong to say the Timbers championship window is being shut and that they need to kind of blow the team up and get some new legs in there? What about Minnesota and Colorado? They are sitting tied with Houston for seventh, but below the playoff line on goal differential and wins. So, I'm sorry, they all have five wins on goal differential. Do you see those teams pushing their way up? So, let's go check out some of our comments that we've got. Good banter in the chat. A lot of good talk between friends here. So, why don't you do this? Email me your thoughts, everyone. sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com, or you can email me directly at wife.children.house@gmail.com. What do you think is going to be the movement of these teams in the East and the West over the next several weeks? We're a third of the season into it. We've got the dog days of MLS summer coming up. So how do you think things are going to shift? Do you expect the top four teams to stay the way they are? And hey, send us in a picture if you're at a game. Email us your thoughts. We will include all of that in our next episode, as well as on Twitter, you know, if Mike ever gets around to doing some social media updates. That's right, Mike. I know you're slacking, but we're going to get you back going. We're going to use a little peer pressure here. Now, before we go, just one other headline for you USMNT fans out there. Leeds United in the English Premier League, who just avoided relegation on the final weekend in the Premier League and will remain in the Premier League, will also do so with new signing Brendan Aaronson, right? They are like this close to that deal being finalized. I think it's pretty much done. It was not going to go through had Leeds been relegated, but now that they're staying up, they secured a spot. They are going to probably sign Brendan Aaronson and he'll get to reunite with Jesse Marsh, right? Now, the MLS effect of this is not only do we have a great MLS product now playing in the Premier League, that's fantastic, right? This isn't a Christian Pulisic who was, you know, almost prodigious, a prodigy, coming out of a camp and then going over to Europe and playing when he was in his youth. This is a young player still, Brendan Aaronson, but he came up through the Philadelphia Union Academy and then made his way to the Premier League. That's fantastic. Plus, he's got his younger brother, Paxton, who may follow in his footsteps. Now, again, the MLS impact, aside from all of that, is financial, of course, right? The Union still had a sell-on clause, reportedly between 10 and 20%, and if this deal gets done for what people think it's going to get done for, the Union are going to get a $3 to $6 million sell-on fee. That is huge. That is a low-end DP, low to mid-end DP, as well as you can reinvest some of that in your infrastructure. Now, the league's going to take a little bit of that, obviously, but you know what? That's fantastic that the Union are able to develop players, one, and structure agreements that will benefit them in the future. Those MLS sell-on clauses. I love it, guys. I love it. Anyway, that's everything for the show. We are almost on the hour mark, so I don't want to keep you all too long, as we're seeing in the chat here. You know, Mike's got his kids to deal with, right? Hopefully mine are asleep by now. I'm sure my wife's passed out as well. It's a long day for all of us. It's a Monday. But you know what? We look forward to talking soccer with you all each and every Monday. It gets me through my work day, that's for sure. So Before we wrap it up, did you like the new format? Do you like the kind of team-specific conversations? We'll rotate them if you do like it, so that way we can touch on all the other big teams throughout the MLS. And there are no small teams in the MLS, just small markets, right? Again, it would have been crazy to try and break down 24 games for you all. But anyway, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, share the link, share the conversation, follow along on Twitter at SOP Soccer. If you like what I do, you can follow me at Wife Kids House on Twitter or my own YouTube channel, wife.children.house. It's been so much fun. We got U.S. Open Cup this week. Mike, you doing any lives for the Open Cup? Now I bet you're doing them for the Canadian Championship. That's also going on this week. So make sure you turn on your notifications and you follow along on Twitter so that when we do go live to do a watch along, you can join some of the best soccer talk in the Americas right here. Once again, thank you to Ramon Poblano for the super chat. My second super chat, Rocky, he topped you. You sent me $2. He sent $5. Who's going to send the $6 super chat? We're going to keep driving this up. Thank you all. It has been a wonderful night talking soccer with each and every one of you. Can't think of a better way to spend my Monday night. Shh, don't tell my wife that. Anyway, until next time, soccer fans, enjoy all the action around CONCACAF, MLS, CPL, Liga MX, Central America, and the Crypt. So much soccer to love. Take care, everyone. Have a great night. And hey, Soccer Mason, Lou City winning the cup. I love it, my friend. I hope they can become the first non-MLS team to do it since, what was it, Richmond? In 99, I want to say. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Soccer Mason, hey, it was great to connect with you. Great to meet you, my friend. And it's a Greek goodbye, right? It takes forever. I'm Greek. I say Greek goodbyes. We stretch it out. It's all in good fun here. Anyway, kalinichta. Good night, everybody.